So we are reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, 5th chapter, text number 21. Okay. So repeat after me. Bhaya sparseshu asakta atma vindati atmani yat sukham sa brahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam ashnute. Bhaya spasheshva asaktma vindat atmani yat sukham saha brahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam ashnute. Bhaya sparsheshva saktatma vindatyatmani yat sukham sabrahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam ashnute. Bhaya sparsheshva saktatma vindatyatmani yat sukham saha brahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam ashnute. Please chant. Bhaya spaseshva saktatma vindati atmani yat sukham saha brahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam ashnute. Brahma spaseshva saktatma vindatatmani yat sukham saha brahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam ashnute. Bhayaspasheshu, in external sense pleasure, asakta atma, one who is not attached, vindati, enjoys atmani, in the self, yat, that which, sukham, happiness, sa, he, brahma yoga, by concentration in Brahman, yukta atma, self-connected, sukham, happiness, akshayam, unlimited, ashnute, enjoys. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme. Purport. Sri Yamunacharya, great devotee in Krishna consciousness, said, Yadavadi mama cheta Krishna padara vinde navanavarasada manyudyattam rantumasit tadavadi bata narisangamesam smaryamane bhavadi mukha vikara shushtu nishti vinam cha. Since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in Him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at a thought, and my lips curl with distaste. A person in Brahma Yoga, Krishna consciousness, is so absorbed in the loving service of the Lord that he loses his taste for material sense pleasure. The highest pleasure in terms of matter is sex pleasure. The whole world is moving under its spell, and the materialist cannot work at all without this motivation. But a person engaged in Krishna consciousness can work with greater vigor without sex pleasure, which he avoids. That is the test in spiritual realization. Spiritual realization and sex pleasure go ill together. A Krishna conscious person is not attracted to any kind of sense pleasure due to his being a liberated soul. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshuran Militam Yanam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sabadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalan Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscham Shirupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sivishagan Vitamscham He Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpade Gopesha Govika Ganta Radha Kanta Namastude Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshare Vrijabhano Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatrubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhara Shivajari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhayas Pase Swasaktatma Vindatyatmani Yatsukam Sabrama Yogi Yuktatma Sukham Akshayam Ashnute. Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always in trance enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme. So this chapter is entitled Karma Yoga. So action in Krishna consciousness. So as we know, so yoga means to connect, to link, and specifically means actually to be connected to the Supreme Lord. And the karma means the activity. So here Prabhupada has mentioned action in Krishna consciousness. So in the beginning of the chapter, Arjuna was asking Krishna that before you ask me to renounce work, and then again you recommend work with devotion. So now he's asking, what is more beneficial for me? So Krishna has explained to Arjuna actually that we have to renounce all material world all material activities, that has to be renounced. But we have to work. It is natural when we have this body that we have to engage in activities. But it should be done for the pleasure of Krishna. And it should be done with devotion. So there are still different stages of Krishna consciousness. And different, as we know, different forms of yoga. So karma yoga is actually the first stage. When one is understanding that there's a Supreme Lord and that we have a connection with the Supreme Lord, a relationship with the Supreme Lord, with Krishna. So then, when we'll work for Krishna, when we'll do something for Krishna, for the Supreme Lord, but at the same time, he may not be fully absorbed in that. He may still have some material desires, and so he will still engage in materialistic activities also. But he understands they have to do something for Krishna also, and then he will do something for Krishna's pleasure. He will work and he will give up the fruits. Some of the fruits he will give up and give it to Krishna. So, but he's not fully surrendered to Krishna. And he's not giving everything to Krishna. He's keeping something for himself also. Which, when one is in this material world, it is natural, especially when he's a householder, one has to take care of oneself and of the family. And for this, one has to work. And one has to maintain the family. So, that is natural. So ultimately it is then a matter of the consciousness which will have the different devotees in different categories, like a karma yogi. One is doing karma and giving something to Krishna, but because he's not fully surrendered, so it is known then as karma yoga. He's working, he's connected to the Supreme Lord, he's giving something to Krishna, but not everything. So he's connected, so yoga is there and he's doing activities. Something for Krishna's pleasure and some also for his own pleasure. So he's not completely free. As Rupa Goswami has explained, he has defined pure devotional service in the nectar of devotion. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma navritam anukulina krishna nushilanam bhaktir uttamam. What is uttam bhakti? Krishna Nushilanam. If one is doing what Krishna wants. So and it is not covered by anya bilashita sunyam, but any desire except that I want to satisfy Krishna. So it is not covered by karma, doing something, but not only for Krishna but for one's own self. And it is also not covered by jnana. Simply trying to learn something, even about Krishna, about the process, about God, about self-realization, and understanding that we have a connection with the Supreme Lord, but not so much interested in doing some practical service, jnana, yoga. So that is jnana yoga. Cultivating knowledge in connection to the Supreme, but not being engaged practically in spiritual activities for the pleasure of the Lord. But that may be considered more advanced, because the jnani yogi usually is not interested in sense gratification, but is interested in knowledge, to be self-situated on the transcendental platform as Atma. So he's trying to be properly situated. But still he is not having the full knowledge and intelligence, and so therefore he is not serving Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. And then so even more advanced, of course, is that is explained, is those who are meditating on the Supreme Lord, not simply just acquiring knowledge by reading various Vedic literatures, but they're meditating on the Supreme Lord, Ashtanga Yoga, by sitting properly, controlling the mind and the senses, asan pranayam, yam niyam, following the rules and regulations, according to Vedic literatures, some rules and regulations like getting up early, taking a bath, and some prohibitions are there, not drinking any alcohol, not smoking. Yam and niyam are there, and then sitting posture, asanas, so that a healthy body may be there, and consciousness and mind, so that one can then perform yoga properly. Linking with the Lord by meditation, by remembering Him. And for that purpose, pranayam, breathing, is helpful. That will help to control the mind. That is good for the health. Also pranayam, if there is some disease of the lungs, for example, then pranayam is recommended. But ultimately the purpose of the asanas and yogas, so it's not just to have a healthy body and consciousness, but so that one can meditate, and meditate on the Supreme Lord. And then for that purpose, pratyahara, withdrawing the senses from the sense objects, controlling the mind and the senses from external activities, from sense enjoyment, and concentrating on the Supreme. And then in this way, dharana, then it is possible to remember sometimes the Lord, but it is not uninterrupted. But if one is then more advanced, then comes dhyana, when one is able to remember the Lord, the transcendental form of the Lord, His qualities and pastimes. And then the highest stage, that is samadhi, completely absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Lord, and completely forgetting that this material existence, this material body. So the Ashtanga Yogis are there, they are considered more advanced than the Karmi Yogis and the Jnani Yogis. So there may be, of course, even varieties amongst, especially the Munis and the Yogis, and even the Karmis. Not everyone is on the same level. But then Krishna, of course, is urging Krishna to serve Him and to serve the Supreme Lord, to engage in bhakti yoga, connecting with the Supreme and to work in devotion that He has explained in this chapter also. In various verses, that one who is actually engaged in works of devotion, who is a pure soul, so he's very dear to Him, and he's never entangled in this material world. And so he's not attached to the result of his activities, but he's depending on Krishna. Whatever Krishna is providing, that he will accept, and that he will offer to Krishna, actually, for Krishna's pleasure. So that is explained here in this chapter. The bhakta, who is depending on Krishna, so automatically then he will gain transcendental knowledge. Even he may not be so intelligent, materially speaking, but if he is surrendering to Krishna, Krishna will enlighten him. Krishna will give him knowledge. And then he will have a true vision, he will see the transcendental form of the Lord. And then he will see things in proper perspective, everything related to Krishna, to God, and everything situated in Krishna. And then, as explained a few verses before, he will see with equal vision a brahmana, a cow, an elephant, and a dog, and even a dog eater. He will see the spirit soul. He will not just see the body. So he is respecting everyone equally. He has equal vision. But at the same time, he's using his intelligence and he's dealing differently. So we'll respect, especially those who are more advanced, the sages, the spiritual masters, and try to serve them, and he will have a loving relationship with those on the same level. And he will help those who are inferior in knowledge, in understanding, and he will also avoid those who are envious, but help those who are innocent. So that is all explained in this chapter. And so specifically in this verse, here it is mentioned that bias pasesra asaktatma. So he's not attached, asakt, to a bhaya sparsha. Bhaya means external, sparsha means the touch, but specifically here means an external sense pleasure. So as we know, when the senses are there, they are attracted to the sense objects, and in this way the sparsha is there, some touch is there. The eyes are looking at a form, a beautiful form, and then becoming attached, attracted and then attached. So in this way there is then the exchange is there, so sparsh is there. So but he's not attached to that, he's not attracted to that, to material sense pleasure. Although still, as explained by Prabhupada in the purport, that devotee in Krishna consciousness, so giving the example of one of the great acharyas from the Ramanuja Sampradaya, Yamunacharya. He was actually the spiritual master of Ramanujacharya. And so he was a great soul, liberated soul. But at the same time, he was a householder, he was in Grihasthasham, but then he left everything. So then he may have still had some, as explained in the verse by himself, that when I think of sex pleasure, I spit at a thought and my lips curl with distaste. So still sometimes, due to being conditioned or due to having experience before, so some attraction may be there. But then he's feeling disgusted with that. And he's not dwelling on that, but he's trying to remember Krishna. So, but these things may come, as even Krishna has explained in the second chapter, so that the desires may still come, even when he is already more advanced and fixed. But sometimes some desire may come. But that may come to the devotee who is fixed, so they're coming and going, and he's not dwelling on them. And just like the river is there, so the river is flowing, but then it is flowing towards the ocean. Krishna explains that these desires are coming, and just flowing, one after the other they may come. But the devotee is not attracted, he's not attached to that. He's detached, although it may be there in the consciousness. But he's avoiding that, he's not dwelling on that. But he's trying to be absorbed in remembering Krishna and in thinking about Krishna's wonderful form, his qualities and pastimes, or things related to Krishna, service to Krishna, or the philosophy. So he's properly situated. And because he has some realization and is feeling transcendental pleasure in the loving exchange with Krishna, so he can quite easily give up this attraction to these external sense pleasures. Even it may come in the mind, in the consciousness, but he's not dwelling on that. So, then further is explained, so Asaktatma, so the great soul, Brahma Yoga Yuktatma, so he's engaged in Brahma Yoga, is concentrating on the Brahman, on the Absolute Truth. And is in Sukham Akshayam Ashnute. Akshay means unlimited. So Sukham, unlimited happiness he's enjoying, he's experiencing. So therefore this material sense pleasure is not attracting him. So he's fixed. Vindati, Atmani and the self. So again it is explained here two times, Sukham is experiencing this transcendental pleasure which is coming from the Atma, from the self. So therefore he can easily give up this external happiness, this external sense pleasure which is very temporary and very flickering. So it is a matter of practice, and Prabhupada has explained also further in the purport that one who is in Krishna consciousness, so one who is working in Krishna consciousness, so he can be without the sex pleasure, which otherwise in this material world, or the ordinary persons, they are all attracted to the opposite sex. And they're working very hard, and then ultimately they will try to enjoy with the opposite sex. Of course, there may be also simply different manifestations may be there, and enjoying the various objects of this material world. So that is the overloading propensity, loading over material nature, so which has to be given up. So that is possible by having some positive engagement. And that is by serving Krishna, by working for Krishna. And that is natural ultimately. Jivere supoi Krishnera nittadas. That is our real position. We are the servants of Krishna, the eternal servants of Krishna. So that is the actual occupation of the living entity. Jaiva dharma, jivka dharma. Dharma means a religion, but it may also refer to the propensity of the living entity. So that is service to Krishna. So it is natural to serve Krishna for the living entity. It is meant to serve Krishna. So one who is engaged in Krishna consciousness, so he is able to give up this external sense pleasure, and easily if one is fixed. So different stages are there in Krishna consciousness, even in bhakti yoga different stages are there. The beginning stage is there when one is having knowledge and some understanding, and then one will engage in spiritual activities but is not yet very strong. And the consciousness is not pure. So then one has to diligently continue serving Krishna for Krishna's pleasure, and trying to give up all sense pleasure, material external sense pleasure. And then slowly but surely the consciousness becomes pure. And then one will see oneself as being different from this material body, the external body, the gross body, and different from the subtle body, consisting of the intelligence, the ego, the false ego, material intelligence, and material mind. So by purity one can realize one's spiritual nature, one's real nature, as Atma, as eternal servant of Krishna. And then one can properly engage in spiritual activities, in devotional activities, and make more and more advancement towards the highest stage. In the highest stage, the love for Krishna will be manifested, which is there, but it is in dormant form. It is there in everyone's heart, By nature, everyone is a lover of Krishna. But the consciousness is polluted. The real consciousness, Krishna consciousness, is covered by the material consciousness. So that has to be purified, and that is purified by engaging in devotional activities for the pleasure of Krishna. Then the consciousness, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, all the senses are purified. And then it is possible to see Krishna. Atasi Krishna Nabadi Naba Vegran Indriya Seva Mukhe Jivaro Swami Vaspurati Adaha. So with one's material consciousness, intelligence, mind, one cannot see Krishna. And also with one's senses, with the material eyes, we cannot see Krishna. But when the senses are purified, when the consciousness is purified by being engaged in Krishna consciousness, then Krishna will manifest. Spurti is there. Then Krishna himself will manifest. And then one can see Krishna as he is. And he is Satchidananda Swarup. He is his eternal form, full of bliss and knowledge. Tribhang Shyama Sundar. His beautiful form, Shyama Sundar, bent in three places, holding a flute, having a peacock feather in his crown. So that form can be seen. But that can only be seen when one's consciousness is purified, when the love will manifest in our heart. And therefore it is mentioned by Lord Brahma, Premanjana Churida Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadeva Hiriyeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundarama Chinti Gunasarupam Govindamari Purushantam Aham Bhajami. So, Premanjana Churida. A person's eyes were anointed by this Premanjana. So then he can see always the beautiful form of Shyama Sundar. But it takes time. So first we have to acquire knowledge, we have to hear about the process of devotional service, about the Lord. And then by engaging in devotional activities, then eventually we'll be able to see Krishna as he is. So it is a gradual process. The progress is gradual. So therefore one has to always remain enthusiastic. Utsaha nishchay daryat. And nishta, one should be fixed in trying to attain the goal. Atma sakshatkar. Realization of the Atma. Direct realization of the Atma. Of oneself. So one should be enthusiastic and fixed that I want to attain the actual realization of myself, my real self, and of Krishna's wonderful form. And by the same time, Dariyat, one has to be very patient, because it is not so easily achieved. It will take some time. But if one is always in the association of the sadhus, and giving up unwanted association, then prasiddhati, then it will be achieved. Utsa nishchadaya tatta karma pravatanat. Always engaging in spiritual activities. So starting with hearing and chanting. Shavanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam parasaimanam achanam vandanam dasyam sakyam atmani veranam. Sangatyaga satavrite sadvir bhaktir prasiddhati. Then the bhakti will become perfect in the association of the sadhus, of the saintly persons. So therefore it is recommended that we take the association of the devotees who are more advanced. And in their association, under their guidance, following their instructions, serving them, hearing from them about the process about Krishna, then we can more quickly make advancement in spiritual life. On our own, it is practically not possible. We need the help of the advanced devotees, even of the fellow devotees, the devotees who may be there on our level, so that we are then safe from the onslaught of this material nature, which is very strong. So we should always be in the association of the Vaishnavas and take advantage of the association of the Vaishnavas. And especially seek the help and guidance of those who are more advanced, so that we may advance more and more and come to the highest stage of pure devotional service. So that is what Krishna is trying to also tell Arjuna. So therefore he has explained in various chapters the process and the gradual process and what is the highest form of devotional service. So everything is explained very nicely in this Bhagavad Gita. So that the devotee, the sadhaka, may advance more and more in devotional service. So he may come to the highest stage of pure devotional service. So this process is very blissful, as explained here. And even though one may not be yet advanced, but if one is engaged in spiritual activities, he will get transcendental pleasure. And the more one advances, the more he will feel transcendental pleasure. And the struggle will be less and less. But still, at the same time, difficulties are there, even for the advanced devotees. Some struggle is there, some inconvenience is there, some tests are there by the external energy of Krishna himself. Seeing how much we are determined to actually come to the highest stage and then to go back to him. So we have to try to overcome all difficulties. So by remaining fixed and remaining very humble, very tolerant, and always positive, see everything in a positive way, that ultimately everything is Krishna's mercy. So even if difficulties are there, everything is Krishna's mercy. Krishna is trying to help us. Krishna is trying to help us more than we are eager to advance. He's more eager for us to come back to him, that we are eager to go to him. So Krishna is an ocean of mercy. So, but we simply have to look towards him. We have to serve him to the best of our ability, with great enthusiasm, being fixed and being very patient also. So, and in this way, in due course of time, we'll come to the highest stage of pure devotional service. So which is what we are aspiring for. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes. Yes. So verses 20 and 21, they appear to be connected. I'm just saying.
Such a liberated person, this word connects both the sutras. Such a liberated person. As we told in the sloka number 21.
Yes.
That liberated person refers to sloka number 20.
Yes, yes, yes. Of course, everything is connected. In the old Bhagavad Gita, all the verses are connected.
Now, ever since we have come to the Vaishnava philosophy, practically we are not asking Lord Krishna to give some kind money or with some property or with something else.
Yes, so
that,
when yes.
Forgetting those things.
Yes, so when we are coming to Krishna consciousness, then we are not asking Krishna for anything of this material world.
But
yes.
Here, the author has discussed about three important achievements in human life which is very dear and near to all Krishna. That is Brahman realization, self-realization and Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
And this slope number 20 tells that if you are not rejoicing by getting some good thing, even if you have not asked for the Lord, and if you are not lamenting by getting some bad information, then you can be situated in this liberated process. I understand. So if these two conditions are necessary and sufficient conditions, or some other conditions are also connected with it, my hope is to become a self-realized man. As far as slope number 20 is appearing, if I kill my will when to rejoice to get something, or kill my will to be unhappy when I get bad news, then I can be established in this position. Is it complete? Only these two will give me these things, or any other things are it here?
Yes, so the question is referring also to text number 20. There it is explained that one who is not rejoicing upon achieving something pleasant and no laments upon obtaining something unpleasant. So he is self-intelligent and he is transcendentally situated. Huh? So the question is, if this is sufficient to be transcendentally situated. Actually, Krishna is giving so many instructions here in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, which is actually Arjuna is nimitta matra, is there the instrument so that Bhagavad Gita could be spoken for our benefit, for the benefit of the conditioned souls. And so in order to be transcendentally situated, so many things are required. Not just these two things. A person who does not rejoice upon achieving something pleasant, nor laments upon obtaining something unpleasant. He is transcendentally situated. So that may be there, but not necessarily. Even for example, just to give an example myself, so, before I came to Krishna consciousness, I had practically, I was living in Switzerland, born in Switzerland, and materially speaking, I had everything. Nothing lacking. And so, for example, if I was getting some money or something, I was not rejoicing, oh, I got some money. Or if I was losing something, I was not lamenting. I was equipoised, and I was even also searching actually for the Absolute Truth. But I was not transcendently situated, although I was thinking I could be. And when I first read the Bhagavad Gita, and then read the 12th chapter, I was thinking, well, that refers to me. I'm not lamenting upon something being lost. I'm not feeling pleasure and pain. I'm very dear to Krishna. Of course, ultimately everyone is dear to Krishna. And I was thinking I'm very perfectly situated on the transcendental platform. But then speaking to the devotees and then understanding more and more, I was realizing, well, it is just, I'm just in the beginning stage, very beginning stage. Very beginning. So, and then I realized I have to follow this process very strictly, as given by the acharyas, given by Prabhupada, the representatives of Prabhupada, the spiritual master. And then first of all, of course, we must have a spiritual program. Like getting up early and then worshipping the Lord, chanting the holy names, and then hearing or reading the scriptures. And then, for example, following some rules and regulations, like eating only Krishna prasadam. So all these things have to be there. It is not sufficient simply to not to rejoice upon achieving something pleasant. That is just one thing. It's just some symptom. That is just one symptom. But there may be many symptoms. And he's not lamenting. But that is not sufficient. The main thing is you have to actually be engaged in spiritual activities and remembering Krishna. And especially in this Kali Yuga, chanting the holy names. Because without chanting the mantra, you cannot think much about Krishna. Especially in the Kali Yuga. Yogis are rare. We're doing Ashtanga Yogi and they can, and anyway, they're not even remembering Krishna. Mostly they're meditating on Paramatma. But we don't have any permanent relationship with Paramatma, the Super Soul. The Super Soul is there in expanded form of Shankarshan, only there in the material world, accompanying the conditioned soul. So he's there in our heart, and so as long as we're in this world and we are conditioned, some connection is there with the Super Soul, but it is not the real relationship. The relationship is with Krishna. That is the real relationship. So the point is that we have to actually be under the guidance of, first of all, the spiritual master, an advanced devotee. Gurupad Ashray, that is the first limb in devotional service. First Anga, as explained by Rupa Goswami, and Krishna is telling Arjuna also, Tat vidhi paripatena prasna sevaya. Upadekshati deganam jnanas tattva darshanaha. You take shelter of a devotee, and then you inquire, and then you serve, and you follow his instructions, and then it is possible that you can advance. Then you can advance. So simply that, not to rejoice upon achieving something pleasant, that even one who is in the mode of goodness, even he can also, he's on that situation, one in the mode of goodness. So that is also a symptom of one in the mode of goodness. In order to be transcendentally situated, you must engage in transcendental activities. You have to perform, you have to follow a padati, a process, by which you can be transcendentally situated. And then the symptom is there that you will, upon gaining something, you will not rejoice. And upon losing something, you will not lament. Because you know these things are coming and going. Happiness and distress, they are coming and going. So that is also even not the primary symptom. That is only secondary symptom. The main thing is you're always thinking of Krishna. That is primary symptom of a devotee. And he's thinking for Krishna's pleasure. He doesn't care about his own pleasure. If he's getting something or not, there's no concern for him, ultimately. But at the same time, if he's getting something, then he will use in Krishna's service. And if he's feeling some pleasure, this is all right. But then even the different kinds of pleasures, one is material and one is transcendental. So there may be transcendental happiness and transcendental distress. But either way, he doesn't mind. But he wants to serve Krishna. There was a servant of Krishna in Dwarka, Daruka. So driving Krishna's chariot. One time he was serving also Krishna with a chamar. And then tears were coming from his eyes because of transcendental pleasure. He was feeling transcendental emotions. But he was not ready. He was, of course, some A relishing is there. It is natural, but at the same time he was checking himself. Oh no, this tear should not come, and I have to serve Krishna, I have to serve Krishna. He simply wants to serve Krishna. He doesn't even want this transcendental pleasure. If it is coming, it's nice. If it is not there, no problem. If transcendental distress is there, if Krishna wants me to be transcendentally distressed, then all right, like the gopis. Srimati Radharani, as Mahaprabhu has said, Ashlishyava padaratam pinashtuma madashanama mahatam karotuva yadadadava vidadadulam padoma prananatastu sevanabaha. He's my prananath, he's the lord of my life, and he can do whatever he wants with me. He's a debauchee, means a debauchee we know. So he's going sometimes to the other gopis. And Radharani doesn't like that. If he's going to see Chandravali, the other gopis, Vipaksha gopis. But at the same time, Krishna can do whatever he wants. If he's present before me, if he disappears, he tramples on me. I don't mind. Still, although she didn't like, she was feeling dissatisfaction, anger, transcendental anger, so many transcendental emotions are there. But ultimately, Krishna can do whatever he wants, and he's always my Lord. Even he goes to see the gopis, the other gopis, Radharani, still for him, Krishna is the Lord of my life, always. In happiness or in distress, the devotee is always serving Krishna. So that is secondary. The main thing, the devotee is completely fixed in serving Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure, not expecting any pleasure for himself. So that is properly situated on the highest stage. Aradhya Bhagavan Brajeshataniyasta Dhamma Vrindavanam Ramya Kachitubasana Brajabad Vargana Yakalpitaha Srimad Bhagavatam Purana Mamaram Prema Pumatamahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam Tatradana Paraha. So shlok by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Prabhupada quoted that verse many times. So that is the opinion of Mahaprabhu, and there is no other opinion. So the Bhagavatam is the Amra Purana, that is the spotless Purana, and that is most dear to the devotees. And so that is the essence of the Bhagavatam, the essence of the Vedic literature. The Bhagavatam is the essence of the Vedic literature. Vedanta Sar. Prem, that is the Parampurush art, that what is the devotees actually they are aspiring for. Ordinary persons, they want Dharma, they want to follow Dharma, and then Artha, they want something, they want to gain something, like the Karma Yogis, they're following Dharma, they're believing in God, they're working also something for God, giving something to God, but they want some sense pleasure also, Artha, Kam, so they want to gain something, material benefits, and then with that some calm, some sense pleasure is there. But then when they are frustrated again and again, because ultimately if one is not fully Krishna conscious, one cannot feel transcendental happiness, or what to speak of then being materially happy, it is not possible. Happiness in distress are coming. So then they want mukti, liberation from this material entanglement and material happiness and distress. So, but the devotee doesn't even want mukti, liberation. No, he can stay here in the material world, even if he has to struggle and suffer for Krishna's pleasure. But he simply wants bhakti. And what kind of bhakti? Prema bhakti. Therefore, prema pumata mahan, that is what the devotee actually wants. So that is a real necessity, prayojan, that is Krishna Prem, that is to be achieved, that is wanted for Krishna's pleasure, serving Krishna with love, not desiring anything for ourselves. And then the highest form of the devotional service, that is shown by the gopis. So Aradhya Bhagavan Brajesha Taniyasta Dhamma Vrindavanam. So the Aradhya Dev, the Ishta Dev, that is Krishna, the son of Nanda Baba. Braja Isha Tanaya. So then the Upasana, the worship of the Braja Badu, the damsels of Braj, that is most exalted. Yakalpita, that we cannot even imagine. The love of the gopis. So we can simply hear, and then we can try to purify ourselves so we are properly situated. And then in the future we may one day understand of the super excellent love of the gopis, and especially Srimati Radharani. So it is like that. So many things are there. So just some symptoms are there. So just external, the symptoms of one who is transcendentally situated. All right? Okay? Anything else? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Kanatra Chimar Bhagavad Gita ki? Chimar Prabhupada ki?